Good morning, everyone. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So good to be here with you all this day. A few announcements as we begin our service. There's still one buy one, get one free ticket left for the baseball game today. We're going as a church. The game starts at 2 p.m. If you want to meet us at the gate, please do so. We'd love to have you. Claire, anything to add? Great. Thanks, Claire. And we have, what, about 15-ish going thereabouts? Something like that right now. So we would always welcome more. A couple other announcements. Just draw your attention to that section in our bulletin where our announcements are. We have new directories that are available still. If you would like to purchase one of those, they're $6. And who shall they see today? Great. Martha has them for you. And please, if you're writing it as a check, please make it payable to Joan Jones. I see she's already taken off on her vacation, right? please note the announcement about our bread tin offering for next month. There'll be more about that in the service. We had scheduled Joan, who is the RN that heads up the respite program there at Haywood Street, to come and tell us a bit this morning. I think she's going to be in next week. She ended up being there all night last night and said she was just a little too tired to come and share with us today. So there'll be a little more about that next week, but I'll say a brief word. Are there any announcements that may not have made it into the bulletin that you'd share? Wonderful, fun place. I'll just say two words, paddle boats. How about that?
Yes. Rocking chairs.
Rocking chairs, paddle boats. One could spend a worse way of a day. So, I invite you to stand as we sing together our opening hymn, number 102, Now Thank We All Our God.
We
And I invite you to remain standing as we turn in the back of our hymn books to the Psalter, to number 828, as we read responsively from Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on God's name. Make known God's deeds among the peoples.
Sing to the Lord. Sing praises. Tell of all God's wonderful works.
Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Seek the Lord in new strength. Seek the Lord's presence continually.
Remember the wonderful works God has done, the miracles and judgments God has uttered. The Lord is our God, whose judgments are in all the earth.
The Lord is mindful of his everlasting covenant, of the word commanded for a thousand generations.
The covenant made with Abraham, his promise sworn to Isaac and confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, please be seated, and I invite our children to join me down front for our children's time. How about y'all sit on the floor here, and I'll sit here. Ah, not fair, is fair. Watch out, Coral. What is this? Whoa.
The treasure map.
Where did this come from? A treasure map? Oh my goodness. Look, it even says treasure map. Wow. And it's got a little compass rose on it, so I know it's old, because most maps don't put that on there anymore, and it's all wrinkled up and everything. Has it been here all along, down here, I wonder? It just worked its way up through those cushions. I don't know. I don't know where the... Let's see if anything looks familiar here. Let me turn it around. Okay. I see Beaver Dam Road. Is that nearby?
Yes.
That's just right out there, isn't it? Yeah. I see Kimberly Avenue. That's the road that cuts back up the back way, isn't it? And Jones School and Merriman. There's Merriman. And look, there's an Ingalls. Oh, it's not too old. The Ingalls is still on here. I see a big X. What does an X on a treasure map usually mean? Oh, my gosh. Well, let's see. Well, if the treasure's right there, we need to figure out where we are, because we like treasure, right?
Yeah.
Do you like treasure like I do?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. So, I know right down there is Beaver Dam and Kimberly, where they meet. Oh, my gosh. It's got to be right here, because X is right where we are. That's the church. That's where we are. Oh, my goodness. Where do you think it is? Oh, that's kind of an X, too, isn't it? It's an X if you turn it upside down a little bit, huh? That's a cross, yeah. Huh. Huh. Well, I wonder what kind of treasure could be here.
God.
Oh, really? Really? Y'all are taking all the fun out of this.
God.
Okay. Oh, man, I was hoping I was going to find gold. And rubies and diamonds.
I was hoping I would find chocolate.
Chocolate and chocolate. I was hoping to find chocolate, too.
Hey, that's
well, you know what? There is a lot of treasure here in this place. Because here, and I bet you have some of these at your house, too. They're Bibles. The Bible has a lot of treasure in it. Treasures of words, treasures of teachings, the life of Jesus. Yeah.
I have two Bibles.
You have two? Hey, you're really wealthy.
I need to have four.
Well, oh, hey, that'd be great. That'd be great. But there's a lot of treasure here. And treasure comes in many forms, doesn't it? And the best part about the treasure that we get here is it never gets taken away. Nobody else can take it from us. Nobody. And you know what else is great about it? The more of it that we give away, the more of it that we have. Because we're talking about God and His love for us, aren't we? Well, let's have a quick prayer. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank You for Your love for each of us. And we thank You for every person gathered here. And we ask that You help us that we might give Your treasure to everyone whom we meet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you find a treasure, you call me, okay? Sound good? Well, tell your mommy and daddy first. Then call me.
And then give it all to me, Daddy.
Well,
then give it all.
I'll give it to your mother, and she'll take care of it.
No, you aren't.
If it's my okay. Chocolate bar, make sure you give it to me.
Okay, I will make sure to do that. All right. Well, you should take this then, Wesley. That could be yours, okay?
Not fair.
No.
Okay, we have our bread tin collection.
Me,
can
me,
I get?
Me,
okay.
Me.
Here we go. You don't want to help this time. That's fine. Okay. Cora's going down that side. So if Harper, if you can go down that side over there, and Lila. Oh well, Cora's not. Okay. Let's see here. Sally Ann, can you help me with this? I'm not good at this part. Okay. And for those who would like, you can go to Children's Church right after this. Our bread tin collection for this month is to collect school supplies or money for school supplies for children at Jones Elementary, just up the road here, as we saw on the treasure map. However, next month, we're going to be doing a collection for our bread tin to benefit the respite program at the Haywood Street congregation. And the respite program there at Haywood Street is tailored specifically for individuals who are homeless, who are in need of some secondary care. For instance, maybe they've been released from the emergency room after being stabilized, but still need some long-term care after a broken leg, for instance, or after cancer treatments, things of that nature. There's just some wonderful stories, and Jody will share those with us next week, just a few of them. But I think our program of our bread tin collections for next month will really be put to good use here in Asheville for those among us who we might not see all that often, but who are very, very present and very much in need of our help and our assistance. So please give generously as you are able. All right. Good teamwork. We give that to Sally Ann. Thank you. Well, I invite you to join with me in our prayer for illumination as printed in the bulletin. Let us pray together. Almighty God, send down upon your church the riches of your Spirit. Grant your discernment to all who hear your word today, and kindle in all who minister the gospel your countless gifts of grace. through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our Old Testament lesson this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It is found on page 552 in the Pew Bible. My child, if you accept my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, if you indeed cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There is a land where song echoes.
you all. Hear now our gospel lesson, taken from the 13th chapter of Matthew's gospel. I'll be reading verses 44 through 52. Hear now the great good news. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid, and then in his joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. And again, the kingdom of heaven's like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who's been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. There's a little town not too far from here. It's about 2.5-3 hours east, southeast a little bit of here, called Midland. Anybody ever been to Midland? There's not a whole lot there, but be sure it's pronounced Midland, not Midland. They're very particular about that in Midland. But located there in Midland was a place where a piece of land was that this guy was a German immigrant. He was actually a Hessian mercenary that the government hired to come and help us fight the Revolutionary War. And when the war ended, he moved up to Cabarrus County and found a tract of land, became a farmer, married a young local girl there. And one Sunday in the spring of 1799, his 12-year-old son, Conrad Reed, Johannes Reed was this guy's name, but he anglicized it and became John Reed. And his 12-year-old son, Conrad, he did a terrible thing. He skipped church. I don't recommend this practice, okay? So please don't hear in this sermon that I'm holding him up as a good example, but 12-year-old Conrad did the unthinkable. I want to hear you all gasp. And skip church to go fishing. I have too much fun some Sundays. And as Conrad in 1799 was fishing, he was using a spear, and he saw a fish there in the stream, and he went to stab it, and he missed. And he unlodged a 17-pound yellow rock. You might guess that I'm speaking of Reed's gold mine. It was the first discovery of gold in the U.S. happened in Midland, North Carolina, just so you know. If you've never been to Reed's gold mine, it's one of the state historic sites. It's a great little tour. Or if you can't get all the way down there, my wife will be happy to give you a play-by-play of the tour because she went there every weekend growing up, being from Concord, and she really loves this story. Well, John Reed used this 17-pound yellow rock in 1799 as a doorstop. That's a good use for a big gold nugget, right? I mean, a doorstop. It's functional. It holds the door open. It was kind of wedge-shaped anyway, and so it worked. And he went to the local silversmith in Charlotte and wondered if he could figure out what this pretty rock was, and this guy couldn't figure it out. And so he decided to, when he was on a trip to Fayetteville, to go in and have a jeweler there look at it, whom one did, and said, oh, I'll pay you whatever you want for it in cash right now. Name your price. And John Reed, being a farmer, decided that about a week's worth of wages would be good. And remember, this is $17.99, so he sold it for the hefty sum of $3.50. Now, granted, you know, inflation is a lot, but still sold it for $3.50. He later learned that that rock was that he sold it for was about 0.1%, the value of it, even back then. It was worth about $3,600. In today's money, that's approximately $100,000. So this guy sold this rock for next to nothing. And then he went back to farming, if you can believe it. He didn't decide to go looking in that creek for more of these. He just went back to farming and then decided, you know, after he learned exactly what it was, in the off season, after he had gotten the crops planted and everything, he started looking around. They eventually found a 28-pound gold nugget there, and he died a very wealthy man. But I always love a good story about buried treasure. Though there may not be a whole lot of gold chunks floating around in Beaver Dam Creek down here, if you've ever watched Antiques Roadshow on PBS, then you know that even in Aunt Sally's attic, there's a buried treasure to be found sometimes. Well, in Jesus' day, there was buried treasure to be found too. Our gospel lesson this morning zings us with just all sorts of these parables, just all at once, just zinging us with them. And they're wonderful. And remember, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And Jesus tells us that heaven is like buried treasure. Treasure buried in a field. Heaven is like a pearl of great price. Heaven is like all this stuff. And Jesus says that it's like treasure hidden in a field, that people are more than happy to go and give up all that they have just to touch it and to see it for themselves. But why do you think that Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to buried treasure? Well, I think, number one, we often miss a key term here, buried. Treasure oftentimes is not just right out in the open, is it? We have to search for it. Now, it's often not all that hidden either. It's often not all that buried either. But it still requires that we do a little bit of work ourselves, that we pick up a shovel and that we start looking around a little bit. I think that, like parables, the kingdom of heaven is not always readily apparent to the eye, but something that we must search out, something just below the surface, waiting to be discovered and claimed. But let's not forget the surprise factor in these parables either. The peasant's plowing a field that belongs to somebody else, and in great joy he goes and he sells every measly thing that he has so that he can possess that hidden and mysterious wonder that he unearthed. I mean, don't forget about the shock factor of all this. The next thing I think we need to see in these parables is that the benefits of the kingdom are present to the lucky ones here and now, and not just at some future time in a realm far away of rainbows and unicorns. Come on, that's a good one, rainbows and unicorns, right? I'd like to go to that land sometime. I think it would be pretty entertaining. But the kingdom of heaven is not just some place that we go when we die. The kingdom of heaven is, in some sense, present to us in the here and the now. If you read these parables, all of the folks who discover the buried treasure, who find the pearl of great price, in some sense, they possess it right now. It's not something that they just get later on once they die. But the kingdom of heaven is something that we can possess in some ways, in some forms, in some benefit right now. Theologians, they call this, here's a nice little phrase you can throw out at your cocktail parties. Those are always important, right? Realized eschatology. You could talk about realized eschatology. What that means is just that in some sense, the kingdom of heaven is already present with us here and now. I think we're also meant to see in these parables the clear call to get our priorities straight. Whenever these parables are put before the hearers, it's impossible for us to not think about the priorities. This poor peasant has virtually nothing. He's most likely a sharecropper, plowing up someone else's field, hoping to get just a little bit of the crops from it, giving the owner of the land most of that. But he's got just enough to where he could probably get that field. And so he goes, and everything else pales in comparison to that treasure that he found there in the field. Everything else doesn't matter compared to that one treasure that he has found, much like the kingdom of heaven. Everything else doesn't matter once you've got that. Once you've got that real thing, you need nothing else. It all pales in comparison to the rest of it. Now, there aren't many places in the Bible where we get this nice, straightforward dichotomy. You know, there aren't many places in the Bible, in those many books, where things are put in black and white like that. Some of the apocalyptic writings are like that. Some of the prophets are like that. But very rarely do we get the Bible saying, this is black and this is white. But here's one of those few places where we're called to prioritize our lives around the kingdom. The kingdom and everything else. Choose. But it's not really even a choice, is it? I mean, when we look at this story, it's told in such a way, it's told in the present tense, even though most of Matthew's gospel is told in the past tense. He switches in this one little section of these parables. He switches and puts it in the what we might call the historical present. And it's all written in the present tense so as to like flip on that light switch for us. So we like see in a new way exactly what it is he's saying. It's written in such a way that we're not even assuming that there's an alternative choice there, is there? It's written in such a way that we are to see just like it is. So I hear from these parables a clear call to search after this hidden kingdom, this hidden treasure, to look for it, as it's often just under our noses. And I hear in these parables that not only is it often just under our noses, but it's something that can be present in many ways to us right here and right now. And I hear a clear call to us to reorder our priorities after the kingdom of heaven in our lives together as Christ's church here in this place. I'll leave you with one other story, also about kind of not so hidden treasure. Desmond Tutu, who was the bishop of the Anglican Church in South Africa in the 1980s, was being interviewed on PBS. I don't know how PBS has come up three times in my sermon today. I do like it, but, you know, I'm not trying to do a telethon here for PBS. But there was a PBS interview with Desmond Tutu, and he is just he has such a personality. If you've ever gotten to hear him talk, I mean, he has this smile on his face that just cuts through everything, you know. There's no longer political stuff happening. You get just pure essence, this guy. I love it. And he does it with a smile. And he can say things that'll just cut to your bone. And he says it with a smile on his face, you know. Anyway, Tutu's being interviewed on PBS. And it's in the midst of apartheid when it was at its strongest. And Tutu tells this story to like sum it up. He says, when the white people landed here in South Africa, they had the Bible and we had the land. And they said, let us pray. And when we opened our eyes, we had the Bible and they had the land. But then he gets that smile on his face and he says, we got the better deal. Amen. Our hymn is different from what's in the bulletin. My apologies. Anne didn't do it this time. It was me. Seek ye first, number 405. Let's stand as we offer our praise.
You may be seated. No prayer requests in the bread tin. Are there any from anyone? Let us go to God in prayer. O God, who never sleeps, for whom the watches of the night are as day, and for whom the midnight is as noon, be with those who have had sleepless nights and bring them rest. Be also with those who sleep like babies only to escape the horrors of their lives and the world around them. Sometimes we are wakeful by choice. There's a gathering we want to be a part of, a party we want to stay up for, a show we haven't seen in a while. Other times we cannot find the blessings of sleep and rest, and yet our bodies are oh so very tired and worn out. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
There are times when we have known the pain of bodily affliction or the ache of emotional unease. We think back to the yesterday that is gone with its good times and its not so good times, and perhaps we could have made it better if we had been more sensitive, more alert, more perceptive, more kind. We would do some things over if we had the chance, yet we do have the chance to do some things over. There is tomorrow yet to come. There are relationships we can repair with just a word of affection, a gentle touch of kindness. There are circumstances we can alter and situations we can transform. Each day is a morning of creation, and each morning we begin anew to put ourselves and our lives back together again. Help us to think beyond ourselves so that our choices may be choices for the greater good of the whole. Lord, in your mercy, be with us as we gather here under this roof, this sanctuary, to worship and praise you, as we pray and think of others who are unable to worship freely. May our prayers cover those involved in the conflicts around the world, in Israel and the Ukraine, Ebola outbreaks in Africa, and concerns beyond. May our prayers wrap around those closer to home. And I lift up Sulaine and Marty's stepdad, who was recently diagnosed with leukemia. And the prayers that are listed in our bulletin. Hear now the others that are heavy on our hearts at this time. Remember Debbie Wiltshire and her family's loss in the birth of a stillborn child. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We know, too, there are some things we cannot do over. Yesterday is gone, and give us the willingness to accept what is over, for the errors or sin on our part. May we now find the words to truly confess our wrongdoings. And as we repent and say we are sorry, keep us from rejecting your forgiveness. You have said, whoever will, let them that one come. Here we are asking to be let in where the light of your love shines and the splendor of your mercy surrounds us, renews us, and gives us peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. As we usher in a new week, clothe us in the glory of your light and go with us into the days ahead, that we may walk with confidence in love, sharing the prayer your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And now, from all that God has so richly blessed us with, let us offer our gifts to him. Let us rise as we sing together the doxology. Let us pray. O Lord, take these our gifts to you. May they be seeds of your kingdom, seeds of heaven, that others might come to know your love and your grace here in this place right now. In Jesus' name we offer them. Amen. And I invite you to remain standing as we turn in our hymnals to number 365, Grace Greater Than, but Grace Something, right? Something about grace. Go now in peace, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all now and evermore. Amen.